everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously, but who is pretty serious about dipping his white bread in tepid water.
I like my water to be like puddle temperature. I like to think that it's been there for a while.
Yeah, and flavored with just a sousant of yeast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just the souciest sousant.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's good. It's going really good.
And your face looks pretty good.
Good and nice. I'm having a wonderful time.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining me for our weekly show tonight.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Ryan, to producer Ryan, this week. And, you know, he doesn't like being involved with the show at all.
Right.
But every once in a while I make him have a conversation with me about the show. And we talked about the fact that it's spooky season. It's spooky season now.
Oh, it is. It's probably October by the time they hear this.
Yeah, if not, it's going to be close.
Yeah.
Today, as we record, it's the first day of fall.
You're right, it is.
You wouldn't think it because it's 85 fucking degrees outside, but it is the first day of fall. And so Ryan and I were, you know, this is historically a good time for us to run ads because people are suckers for that spooky stuff.
Absolutely.
Right around this time of year.
Absolutely.
I'm going to hold up a number here. Ryan gave me a number
of
money that we can spend on ads. All right.
That we can spend on ads? Oh, we're buying the ads.
Well, I thought maybe tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought tonight we would start off. I have a story to tell you, obviously, but I thought maybe we'd start off by like kind of brainstorming around an ad to run.
Okay.
Ooh, and see if we can just figure it out now, because I'm just one man, but together we're a whole team.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the number of money, and I was so excited that I scribbled over it a lot. Uh-huh. But can you read this?
Is that a two?
No.
Is that
think a, big, my friend?
That's a 75.
That's 750.
What?
Yeah, Ryan's drunk all the time now. I don't know what he's thinking.
Ryan's drunk and he just found the checkbook under the bed.
Yeah. He gave us permission to spend $750 on ads this spooky season.
Boy.
Which is more money than we've spent on ads, I think, in the entire existence of the show so far.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely agree.
So Ghost Plus is going well, merch is going okay, and we've got $750 to blow on ads. I mean, to spend strategically on ads. Mm-hmm. So if you think about an ad for this show, and I think, I hate to say this, but Facebook has been the most successful platform for us. So what, like, if we had to like brainstorm like a really good Facebook ad for this show that would get people to just listen to an episode,
just one episode.
Yeah. I mean, ideally they would subscribe after hearing the episode, but if we just had the point of the ad is just to get us to the episode, get those clicks.
Ooh, boy, this show,
our show specifically. Yeah. Yeah. We could do it for a different show.
But it might be like if we
call Joe Rogan and we're like, listen, we'll send people your way and then you send people our way.
Exactly. We have $750 to spend with you, Mr. Joe Rogan.
Yeah. We're a pretty big deal.
Yeah. I guess I would say, do you like podcasts that are identical to Joe Rogan's podcast? Minus about 45, 50 kilograms of steroids. And
yeah. So, I mean, so far, but I'm working on it. I'll get there.
But we do have two male hosts, not just one. So
that's true. So if you stack us up on next to each other, we are almost one Rogan. That's true.
And I guess you and I also used to be funny during like the news radio era of television.
I sure thought so.
I thought we were,
and we did a lot of commentary while each other did dares.
It's a good point,
which I think that's a big part of his origin story. So there's a lot happening here.
Okay,
this is looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. Keep going. You're doing a good job.
Let's see, what else do we have in common with Joe Rogan? I'm skeptical about things.
You're also just asking questions.
Yeah. Are there aliens? I don't know.
Are vaccines ghosts? Mm-hmm. Find out on our show.
Why can't I eat dirt? Sure seems to be a lot of it.
Would be helpful if I could.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
So
no food shortage if I can eat dirt.
Exactly. I mean, food comes from dirt.
Yeah.
Like, farmers aren't, like, planting.
It's a really important ingredient.
They're not planting carrots in the ocean. I know I can't drink that. So.
I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay. This is pretty good.
All right. I noticed you didn't write anything down.
No, not yet. No, I thought, no. It's. I mean, I'm remembering for sure.
Sure.
This is all. Because this is gold. Everything you're saying is really good.
Yeah. Should we record this?
I think we are, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
I haven't heard anything yet in years about ghosts, though. Like, that's an important thing. That's kind of like a hallmark of our show.
You still want to talk about ghosts.
I think it would be good if it also mentioned a ghost.
Okay.
Do you wish Joe Rogan were a ghost? Maybe this show is for you. I noticed you didn't write that down.
No, I don't have a pen down here.
Oh.
I whisper into the cat's ear, though, so he'll tell me later.
In my dreams.
He ran off upstairs like a Miyazaki movie, and he's going to go, like, you know, write it down in ashes in the fireplace.
He's going to go jump on a broom and fly to Austin and whisper it to Joe Rogan that he's got some real competition.
Boy, about ghosts. I don't know. What about you? What are your ideas on this one?
I don't know. I was not thinking of the Joe Rogan angle. I like it. It's good. I think it's good. I think people will be disappointed when they get here and listen if they're fans of Joe Rogan. I don't think we're going to retain. It's not a retention strategy. I think, okay, so what about this? What if, like, it's you and you're just on your phone? It's like a TikTok video, right? You're just, like, looking at camera.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're talking about how ghosts aren't real.
Right.
But then behind you, we see a ghost slowly creep up behind you.
Oh.
And then the ghost gets really close, like, to your ear as you're saying about how ghosts aren't real. Mm-hmm. And the ghost whispers something like, "Do vaccines cause autism?" And then we're back to the Joe Rogan audience, and then we've got everybody. We've got it all.
I think it's actually Tylenol now.
Oh yeah, I saw acetaminophen is the one. Yeah. So that's my idea.
Okay. I like yours because yours is an actual idea. So
yeah, yeah.
I think it's probably gonna win.
It's one about spreading misinformation via ghosts.
Yeah.
Which I like. Okay. Well, this has been a totally fruitless exercise. So, do you have any other housekeeping notes or like stories from your cool week that you want to share?
Boy, yeah, no, not a very cool week over here. Not a very cool couple weeks coming up. Just kind of a lot of not cool stuff going straight into the holidays.
Okay. So, and I did remind you the other day that Halloween is coming up.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you want to know how many weeks until we need to record
that
episode?
I don't. You just remind me the day before we record.
And that's what I normally do.
I'll write something down at lunch. It'll be okay.
Let's see. It's going to be... So our episode's going to... Okay. Do you want to just tell everyone, just in case they're new, what happens on our Halloween episode every year?
I fumble my way through a two truths and a lie with Clayton, and he gets it wrong. So that's
historically that's how it works. Patrick takes over hosting duties and does two truths and a lie, and I so far am very bad at the truth. You got about 3 weeks, is that right?
Yeah, that's
4 weeks.
That's so much time.
It's a lot of time. It's way more than you need for sure. We record in 4 weeks from tonight.
Yep.
So you got time. Feeling good?
Tons of time.
Okay. Well, happy spooky season. Would you like to hear a ghost story?
Yes.
It's so nice.
It is very sweet.
It's very sweet. Okay. In 1733, a man named Peter Stevens stumbles onto a piece of land in Virginia, near the confluence of the Potomac and Shenandoah Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you would know today as part of the panhandle of West Virginia.
I would know it as that, yes.
Yeah, you often talk about the panhandle of West Virginia. You're a big West Virginia file.
Mm-hmm.
as I think we talked about in this show before, West Virginia didn't exist at this time. West Virginia came about after the Civil War or during the Civil War as punishment for Virginia becoming a southern state. They started off as a northern state, and then they were like, actually, just kidding. We do hate working, and we would like to have slaves. And so the federal government was like, well, then we're taking part of this state, and we're making it new state. Yeah. That's your punishment.
I did like the original idea of calling it Good Virginia. I did like that part.
But they knew, like, in 100 years or so, it may not be as good anymore. So let's just call it West.
And it seems like maybe that was probably on the nose.
They hedged their bets, and they really got it right. Mm-hmm. So Peter Stevens is there, and he looks around at this land between the Potomac and the Shenandoah, and he thinks, shoot, this place is real nice. Mm-hmm. And he decides to live there.
Okay.
So just to be really clear about what has happened, this white man goes for a walk. Mm-hmm. He comes across a nice little plot of land. It's not his. And he says, I will live here. And he then does live there.
Mm-hmm.
This land actually belongs to a man named Thomas Fairfax, who is, as you know, the 6th Lord Fairfax of Cameron.
Okay. So he doesn't sound native to me.
No. Good pick. That's a good pickup. No. At this point, no. He is very British. Mm-hmm. Now, Lord Fairfax owned the Northern Neck Proprietary in the colony of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't like calling land neck. It feels like...
I don't like body parts being...
No.
Being land
bandied masses. About as land masses. It's uncomfortable. What if you're in the chode?
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't feel good for anybody. Oh, you've gotten into the Maryland Naval. Yeah. That's where you live now. How does that feel?
My family, they grew up in the Florida Gooch. Yeah, you remember? It's like right there.
Well, to be fair, all of Florida is really one big gooch.
Yeah, the whole.
So the Northern Neck Proprietary in the colony of Virginia was a land grant created by the exiled King Charles II in 1649.
Hmm.
And if you're wondering how an exiled king could grant land all willy-nilly and shit, I am here to tell you, Patrick, I did not research further.
That's fine.
So I do not know.
None of that's going to matter in, sounds like, about 40 years from the sound of this. So
yeah, or about 2.5 sentences.
Yeah.
What I can say is that Lord Fairfax gets a land grant, and he is actually unique among the British peerage in that he is the only member of the British peerage to actually permanently reside in America.
Oh, okay.
Most of them were just kind of, you know,
managing
from afar.
Yeah. I want to own the land. I want it to prosper, but I don't want to live there.
I don't want to. It's savages over there.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I'm not into that. No. But this guy got down in the fucking muck. He's like, just put me in the slop. I want it. You may be wondering, as I was, what a British peerage is, and I am here to inform you that I did research this one.
Uh-huh.
When I clicked the Wikipedia hot link of British peerage, this is what it said. The peerage of Great Britain comprises all extant peerages created in the Kingdom of Great Britain between the Acts of Union 1707 and the Acts of Union 1800. It replaced the peerage of England and the peerage of Scotland, but it was itself replaced by the peerage of the United Kingdom in 1801.
You can't use the word in the definition.
This is exactly like when I tell my students, like, what is engagement rate? And they're like, it's the rate at which you engage.
Sorry.
No, you can't. I'm sorry. That's a zero. And now you must fail out of school. They use it so many times as definition. So I don't know what a peerage is.
Must not be a real word. It sounds like it's not a real word, and they're just kind of trying to flood the zone with information.
Flood the zone with shit, as they say. Yeah, if we use it 9 times in one sentence, people are just going to be, they will look so stupid if they say, I don't know what that is. So Fairfax, he does live on the American land, which I think makes it even wilder that Peter Stevens is just squatting there. But as far as I can tell, everyone seems pretty okay with it. So Stevens settles in, and while he's there at the confluence of the Potomac and the Shenandoah rivers, he looks around and he sees all these, these dumb mopes coming up the Potomac trying to go north or like trying to go south. And then they hit this like big river and they're like, oh no, I never learned how to swim. What do I do? And so Stevens is a problem solver, and he says, what if I launch a ferry?
Oh, okay.
The boat, not a like yeah. a. He's not like water
right,
balloon.
Not like Zelda. No,
fairy.
Not
Zelda, like, no. No.
Okay.
Yeah. He is on this quest alone. And so he does, he launches a ferry and does all right for himself, this little spot. Meanwhile, there's another man born in 1718, a man named Robert Harper. He was born in Oxford Township in Pennsylvania, which is now part of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. for those who care. Now, Harper was a builder. And in 1747, he was asked by a group of Quakers to build a meeting house in the Shenandoah Valley near the present town of Winchester, Virginia. For reasons mm-hmm. that probably existed. We have to go Quakering in Virginia. Yeah. Can you help us Quaker there? Got a Quaker harder than we've ever Quakered before. We need a real builder to build us this meeting house. So they ask Harper if he'll go do this, and he's like, yeah, I like money. That sounds pretty good. And so he agrees. He goes down, and he builds this thing in Virginia. But when he gets down into the Shenandoah Valley, Harper is like, wait a second. I am a millwright.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know a thing or two about the potential of latent water power. and he sees the Shenandoah and the Potomac rivers mm. flowing there, and the confluence there. That's a strong confluence. Mm-hmm. So strong. And this guy's like, I could build a mill here, and it would be so powerful. He immediately forgets all the Quaker shit.
I hope those guys don't come and check up on me, because I've totally forgotten what they asked me to do.
So he sees this homestead on the land, and he goes over there, and he meets Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
And so they chat, and Harper is like, I would really like this land. And Stevens says, great. How much will you give me for it?
Also, it's not mine.
Not his. And so Harper pays Stevens 30 guineas for the squatting rights to the ferry.
I'm uncertain how squatting rights work. I was pretty sure it did not
require money. I thought I had a pretty
money.
Good handle yeah. on it, but I don't. It's, yeah. So let's see. He's buying the right to squat. And Stevens is like, yeah, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that for me. And he sells the squatting rights.
He's like, do you have like paperwork to give me? Oh no. It's way too early for that. America won't be a thing for a long time. We don't need paperwork over here.
And we definitely don't want a trail.
Yeah.
Stevens makes a pretty decent amount of money on this land he doesn't own. And then Harper, who now owns the squatting rights, I guess, without Lord Fairfax being involved,
mm-hmm.
then he goes to Lord Fairfax and he says, hey, I just bought the squatting rights to this part of your land. And mm-hmm. I assume Lord Fairfax is like, what's happening
right now? Who the fuck are you now?
I don't know if I like the cut of your jib. Yeah. But then Harper goes on to purchase 126 acres of land from Lord Fairfax.
Okay.
So then doing he does like the cut of his jib.
Yeah. If you're going to build a mill, you want to make sure you've got a little bit of backing on
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So this is in 1751. So now Harper owns this chunk of land,
mm-hmm.
126 acres, right at the rivers there. 10 years later, in 1761, the Virginia General Assembly granted Harper the right to establish and maintain a ferry. Now, mm-hmm. he already was running a ferry there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. This is government at its best. They take 10 years to give him the official approval to run a ferry.
Yeah. I mean, you probably put the application in about 10 years previous.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. Look got around to it. Like, yeah. And now you can do it. Mm-hmm. It's like, great. I've been doing it this entire literal time. So he's ferrying people now officially, which is great for him. Then in 1763, a couple years later, the Virginia Assembly establishes the town of Shenandoah Falls at Mr. Harper's Ferry.
Okay.
That's the name of the town.
Did they needed that much of a name back then? Was there a Shenandoah Falls like next door that they didn't want to get confused with?
I think that probably what happened here is that one of the people on the assembly owned a printing press and he charged by the letter. And he's like, What if we call it this instead?
I'm sure the postal carrier is just like, guys, none is necessary. There's two towns this whole fucking state. We don't need all the qualifiers.
There's no room for it on this envelope. People are writing in such big letters right now. Cursive is so in. We can't do this. So Shenandoah Falls at Mr. Harper's Ferry is the name of the town, but it's obviously too long. So people just come to call it Harper's Ferry.
Okay.
Robert Harper then dies in 1782, and he is buried in the Harper Cemetery.
Oh.
Yeah. Would you like to be buried at a cemetery named after you?
Ooh. I mean, I guess so. That way it'd probably make it easier to find.
It'd be weird if there were a cemetery named after you and you weren't buried there, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, what did you do that they wouldn't let you in your own cemetery? I guess is bad.
Or were you like so picky that you're like, well, I mean, I do run a cemetery business, but I would never be buried in one of those. They are.
Oh, please.
Not ever.
Just rats in all the boxes. I don't think so.
Now, if you'll excuse me, please flush me down the toilet at Denny's. That's what I prefer.
Oh, yeah. All right, I forgot. So that's his story. He's dead. So October 25th, 1783, 1 year later, Thomas Jefferson visits Harper's Ferry as he's traveling to Philadelphia. And Jefferson fucking loves this place. He loves Harper's Ferry. He looks at the view.
The boat goes back and forth.
It goes up, it goes down, gets me, it shuttles perfectly. No notes. He loves the view, and he said, this is a quote, the scene is worth a voyage across the Atlantic.
A ferry that drags people to and fro in West Virginia. Uh-huh. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, at this point, it's Virginia to Maryland. So that does increase the pleasantness of it, I think, a little bit. I don't think people are coming across the Atlantic to see this ferry.
Yeah,
on the Potomac. No. Have a hard time. But he really liked it. George Washington also came at some point and saw this place, and he's like, "This is pretty cool. I dig this place."
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was worth coming all the way down here. Tom, but
from other Virginia, the other side of Virginia, from Washington's home, it's probably today, I'm going to guess like a three hour drive. Yeah.
In an automobile.
Is that true? Nah, it's probably 2 hours. Let's see. Mount Vernon, VA. That's where I'm starting. And we're going to
Harper.
Not my location, Harper.
Shenandoah Falls.
Shenandoah Falls at Mr. Harper's property or whatever the fuck. Harper's Ferry. Oh, no, an hour and a half. Hour and a half by car.
Is that in traffic? Or
that's right now. Oh, you left now at 9:09 Eastern, so probably no traffic.
Right. So 1760, whatever, if you left right now, you'd get there what, 2-3 years later, something like that?
So that's about right. You'd have syphilis 3 times and tuberculosis 2x. And you'd get there and you'd be there.
You'd be like, this wasn't worth it. Wasn't worth it.
No, but George Washington would say this. It was worth it. It was so good. So anyway, he loves it and he orders an armory to be built there.
Hey. What power does he have at this point? Isn't
I? What year is this? 1780. When did George Washington first visit Harper's Ferry? Let's see what Gemini thinks. 17. Oh, first time. Oh, well, I'm so glad you asked. George Washington's first visit to the area was in 1748 when he was a surveyor.
And the place never left him, really.
He was a surveyor for the Fairfax property, for Lord Fairfax.
Huh. Interesting.
Hey.
Wham!
Fun fact. Wow.
Jeremy, please edit out us Googling this fact in the middle of the show.
Make us sound so smart, Jeremy, please. That's cool. And then later, did you know that after Washington was a president of the United States, he became then the president of the Potomac Company, but not spelled like you think Potomac is spelled.
Right.
Probably the original spelling. And then he visited the site again to assess the need for canals and sluices to improve river navigation. And then later in his life, proposed and supported the idea of building a federal armory and arsenal due to its powerful water power and defensible position. I don't know, man. I don't know. So the answer to your question, I don't know.
Can't wait for our next podcast, Sluices of the 18th Century.
That's after the train wrecks.
Yeah, please. For sure. Give me 1 year of the train podcast. I mean, one of Sluices.
Oh, man. Anyway, I got if you're the first president of a country, you got to have some. You have some sway.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. Or the last president.
I don't know. I don't think Joe Biden didn't have a lot of sway. And he's the last president we're going to have ever, I think, at this rate. Hey, Jimmy Kimmel's coming back.
Not in St. Louis.
Oh, cool. You're one of those next whatever. What's it called?
Sinclair.
Oh, Sinclair also was on? Yeah. You know, I'm not surprised one, but I don't know why I said that as if I didn't just assume that Sinclair would follow suit. That's cool. What are they going to put on in his time slot there?
Quote unquote news.
Oh, no.
In St. Louis, they don't actually they're so cheap. They don't actually have the Sinclair station doesn't have like a local news production. It's just like some like weird national news-ish type thing that they put on every night. It's pretty awful.
And, that sounds pretty.
Yeah, it's just like super like opinion stuff or whatever. But they're just gonna do that for another half hour or whatever.
Okay, so,
that's
cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
It's not too late for you to leave Missouri.
I mean, in my defense, I have not stayed up until 10:30 at night. In 15 years. I don't know.
That is fair. However, I don't know if like you being affected personally is the biggest kind of fallout from this. So.
Either way, I was just going to watch this on like clips the next morning.
I'm just watching the back of my eyelids at that point, right? Oh boy. Well, anyway, where are we here? So Washington's like, let's build an armory. And so people did. And then in 1798, that armory gets a chance to shine a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because tensions were growing between America and France. You want to fill in space while I drink my tea?
Why were they growing between?
It's too late now. I'm done drinking my tea. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for asking. So I think, I don't know. In Hamilton, they were pretty close. Like Lafayette was like.
Like he gets a lot of songs. He gets a lot of songs in the show.
A lot of songs, at least the first half.
Yeah.
So, but I think maybe they were mad that we didn't like say they did a great job for us or something. I don't know. I don't know.
They're a very like like honorable people. Like, you know, you don't like go through the exact order of events, the sequence of events that they expect there.
Yeah, they
sent that really pretty statue over.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we said,
We're
going to let it fucking turn to green.
Yeah, we're going to let it rot in New York Harbor.
Thanks for the copper. We're just going to put it in the most salt water weather spot we can think of.
We're going to put it right on top of the dump out in the harbor. It's called Ellis Island. We're just going to put it right on top of there.
Where all the people we hate come in. It's going to patina so fucking fast. You're not going to believe it. We could put it in the desert where it would stay copper for a while.
Mm.
Absolutely not. No, no.
And we're not going to send a thank you note either. We're not. No. Absolutely not.
Why would we?
We could. We have the mail now, but we're not.
Yep. We will not. We refuse. That's our line in the sand.
Mm-hmm. It's not they want to fight us again.
So again, they were like, these fucking Americans. So they want to fight us. I did Google this cause I was not, this is not a part of history I was familiar with. And, so I Googled what's going on at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And here is, you know, as obviously Gemini is now returning all the Google results in search, which is
very helpful.
So bad. Like I hate Googling, and it's so bad. It's useless. It's worse than useless.
I sent you the one the other day where I was Googling like iOS 26 bugs or whatever, and it kept insisting yeah. iOS 26 does not exist.
I'll be clear. It is like 3 days after it was released. So right. It certainly did exist. So I Googled this, and here's what Gemini returned. And I actually think this is accurate, but you be the judge. And this is a quote from Gemini. In 1798, a diplomatic crisis known as the XYZ Affair escalated into the Quasi-War, an undeclared naval conflict between the United States and France.
Okay.
You seem very unfazed by the fact that we have an XYZ affair that became a quasi-war.
I mean, we got through it, obviously. We're here.
Apparently, France kept seizing American ships in the Caribbean.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they had a really fine reason. So they keep taking ships in the Caribbean. So then America sends envoys to France,
mm-hmm.
try to like rebuild the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like let's be adults about this.
Yep. Maybe steal some ships while you're over there. You know.
We wouldn't put that on the to do list.
Right. But if it happens, who knows?
I don't know. Those rogue agents. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Must be rogue. While they're over there, the French agents meet with them first, and they are like, "Non, monsieur." The French agents demanded bribes from the Americans before they would set up any actual meetings. And the reason this is called the XYZ affair is because the French agents were identified, in some document, I guess, as agents X, Y, and Z, which apparently, again, I think is real.
Mm-hmm.
And so then John Adams, who's the president at the time, is like, well, I guess This is going badly.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we need a navy now because we have to go like defend boats. So he creates the U.S. Navy. This is when the U.S. Navy was created.
Huh.
And he sends them down to start seizing French boats.
See?
Take our boats.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it your boats.
Mm-hmm.
Screw you. Sacre bleu. Screw you.
Mm-hmm. Nothing but wine and cigarettes in these boats, but we will take them. We will take
them. Yeah. We will not be happy about it.
Not sure how you guys got all the way over here. But really. No clue.
We will take them. Anyway, so all this is going on, and the U.S. is like, well, we had better put together some soldiers, too, just in case we go to, like, all-out war with France, not just a quasi-war. And so the U.S. raises some troops and stations them at Harper's Ferry because it's right on the Potomac. Mm-hmm. If it becomes a naval war, they could just sail on out.
Mm-hmm.
Into the ocean. Mm-hmm. Poof is
go start swimming around, shooting folks.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They just jump in the water and they swim around with cannons in their teeth and just start poof, 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 taking them out. Now this war never actually matured to full war state.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these soldiers at Harper's Ferry just like twiddling their dicks or whatever. And so I guess for fun, they decide to start just doing a parade down Main Street every single night of the week.
Hey, why not?
You got nothing but time
mm-hmm.
and nothing but these sweet guns that they would shoot into the air and they would play their drums. They would march down Main Street and everyone in Harper's Ferry is like, this is the best. I love this.
And
it is almost 1800. Holy cow. I think this is so fun.
Historically, this is where Walt Disney got his idea. For the
electric parade. For
the electric parade. Actually, from this event. I don't know if
I think that's right. It's like, what if those lights from the muzzle flashes were just constant? Pretty cool. What if we had slightly fewer casualties? It'd be pretty good. So that was fun for a while. But eventually, all the soldiers got cholera. And then they didn't have the numbers for parades anymore. So they had to stop
that. The first casualty of cholera is always... the festivities. Always the parades.
So they had to start that. But life keeps trucking for the little town of Harper's Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, again, a strategically great place. It's like where it's good. Everyone likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, they all love it. Eventually, the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, you may know it as the B&O,
mm-hmm.
From Monopoly fame.
I recall.
they come to town in 1836. They build their first crossing over the Potomac right there at Harper's Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
And it would go on to be the only rail crossing on the Potomac until after the Civil War.
Huh.
The train was great. People are, it's boom time,
because mm-hmm.
now people can come to Harper's Ferry.
Mm-hmm. And they can ride the most dangerous train crossing on Earth.
There was an article that was like the nerdiest shit about what kind of bridge it was, and I mm-hmm. thought you would love it. And I purposefully took no notes on it.
Show.
Yeah, zero absolutely chance. Not. Absolutely not. But yeah, it's a it had to be very dangerous. I'll tell you what, during the Civil War, it got blown up pretty easily.
I can imagine. Yeah.
So,
whatever leaned on it.
So, but before the Civil War, in our decades here before the Civil War starts, it's going great. And most people did not get hit by this train.
In fact, the majority of people not hurt by this train. Yeah,
solid majority. However,
but
in the 1840s, there was a woman who. She has since come to be known as Jenny,
mm-hmm.
though we do not know her real name.
Mm.
She was a poor spinster. She had no family, no money. She was probably at least 22.
So
well past her prime.
Ancient.
And she lived alone in a shack near the railroad tracks.
Mm.
And one night, she was sitting just a little too close to her fire,
mm-hmm.
and her dress goes up in flames.
Oof. Still wearing a dress.
Yeah.
Spinster, living by yourself in a house.
You got to try.
With the bodice and all that stuff. I don't know.
I don't think it was a bodice style dress. And frankly, based on how quickly it went up in flames, I'm thinking this was like a Temu dress. Like she's not trying.
Burlap just... Temu dressed.
Yeah. So it goes up in flames. Now she is of course panicking as would any of us.
Mm-hmm. I certainly would.
And yeah, if your dress caught fire, mm-hmm. boy, you love those dresses.
I would become so unreasonable be, so. So quickly.
So absolutely not. So she's running around. She's screaming. I assume stop, drop, and roll had not been invented yet.
And
she's just running like normal.
Maybe this is where it comes from. I don't know.
When was up, drop, and roll invented? That's a pre-fill, and that's mm-hmm. concerning. Would you want to guess the decade?
I'm going to go with 1940s.
1970s.
God, how many people we burned
just
up?
Let people just burn to shit before that. That's crazy.
We did not have the technology.
How will we know? I don't know what to do. I don't know. Maybe just run around in circles for a while. See if it helps.
Hang on. I'm almost done pumping gas. You just wait right there.
Don't run over here. No, no. So she's in flames. She's running around screaming.
Mm-hmm.
She runs out of her cabin
mm-hmm.
and she's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
She is screaming her head off and she runs blindly right onto the train tracks.
Oh,
right in front of a train.
Ugh.
And there ain't no Jenny no more is the name of her song
mm-hmm.
that we could. Ain't no Jenny no more, no more. Ain't no Jenny no more.
And that conductor went home with the weirdest story of any train conductor of the century.
Did I ever tell you that when we lived in St. Louis, I had this barber, this female barber who was, she was good, except she was, we got to talking about, you know, mm-hmm. they always ask you questions and stuff. I just want to be left alone. Mm-hmm. I get a haircut, but she was like, let's talk about your life. And so I told her I was, you know, I lived in Chicago for the last like 12 mm-hmm. years and I'm back here and it's going fine. But I take the train to work in Chicago, you mm-hmm. know, every week. And she was like, oh, my husband is a conductor on that train.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, really? Like, is he like one of the ones who walks around? Is he like drive the train? She's like, oh, he drives the train.
Oh.
I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And she goes, yeah, it's not as cool as you'd think. And then she goes on to tell me all
the people he's run over.
Out all the people and animals he's run over. And I'm like, I just wanted to get a haircut.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear all this. And then she goes into like how, you know, he feels so bad and it's so terrible. Like sometimes like there are cars trying to beat the train and he can't stop and he hits them. And then he sees them on the news later. They died and it's so bad. Mm-hmm. But the worst thing, worse than that is when it's a dog, because like dogs don't know anybody. And she's telling me,
I don't think worse is like, a dog. I mean, like dogs are cool and all, but
yeah. I think like a human life.
I would
think it's valued more.
Yeah.
Not everyone agrees with that sentiment, and that's fine. But she's telling me all this, and I'm just like, fuck, lady. I just want to get my hair cut. I don't want to hear about anything. And so, but then I ask, because I'm curious. Now she's hooked me, and I'm like, well, when that sort of thing happens, like if you hit like a human person and you kill them, do you get like paid leave for that? Like, is there like a counseling thing? Mm-hmm. And she's like, you get 48 hours.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, well, that's kind of a nice break. Yeah. So, you know, bright side. I did murder this person on accident, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little 2-day vacation.
I've had days at my work that I would say to myself, you know what? This is the worst day I've ever had at this job. And you know what I did not get? I did not get 2 days off after that.
Well, have you accidentally murdered anyone?
No, but different job, you know.
That's true. I mean, you have such big machinery at your place. You could murder someone
if
there.
If I accidentally murdered somebody at my job, I would get a lot more than 2 days off. I'll put it that way.
Gosh, where are we here? Anyway, there ain't no Jenny no more. That's right. So, but aside from that, train is mostly pretty good for Harper's Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to the story of John Brown. John Brown was a violent abolitionist. Do you watch Peacemaker?
Is that the John Cena show?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, well, you're not going to get this reference at all.
Don't watch anything, but go ahead.
But John Brown is a little like Peacemaker in the sense that he demands peace no matter how many people he has to kill to get it. So John Brown believes he's a white man who believes very fervently in not slavery.
Yes.
Yeah. Which,
good.
On this show.
Correct.
Historically speaking, we're pro anti-slavery.
Two fans right here. Me and you.
Yeah, for sure. And we've demonstrated that, I think, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John Brown approaches this problem of slavery in the way of, like, if you won't stop doing slaving, I'll just murder you.
Okay.
So, which it's going to meet with mixed results. Right. Let's just keep reading.
I mean, famously, about half the country also came to the same conclusion and started doing this. So
yeah, that's true. So John Brown was feeling pretty good coming off a successful and a super fucking bloody campaign in Kansas, where they were trying to decide if they were going to become a free state or a slave state, and he was the one who launched this thing that became, I think, known as Bleeding Kansas.
Okay.
Or Blood Kansas or something with blood in Kansas, where eventually he killed enough people that they were convinced to become a free state.
Okay.
So good, I guess.
Now, did he do this Kansas, not a very populous state in general. Did he do this by like mathematically killing more people?
He's like, if I just kill seven people, then the odds are in my favor. I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't look it up because there's so much to this story.
Still a ghost show.
We might circle back to it if I can find ghosts tied to that mission, and I might. Let's see. But where are we here? So he's feeling good because that one worked out. He killed a lot of people, and it worked out. So then he comes to Harper's Ferry in 1859 and decides he's going to lead a slave uprising.
Okay.
He wants to lead an army of enslaved humans
to
say we're not doing this anymore. This is before the Civil War, but only by a few years. The plan is that he and a bunch of abolitionists and including some free black men, they're going to ride this train into town. They're going to shoot everybody who tries to stop them. And they're going to blow some shit up until they stop being pro-slavery.
Okay.
So I think is a pretty foolproof plan.
This is a campaign here. A campaign.
One of the hurdles, though, is you have to arm everyone. Like, you need guns if you're going to shoot everybody.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. And they didn't have that yet. So first he has to orchestrate a raid on the armory.
Oh. That
Washington had built there.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of guns there.
Yes.
That's famously. It's in the name. Yeah.
That'll be easy for Jeremy to sync up later. Anyway.
So Brown has a group of 21 men plus himself, so 22 total. Mm-hmm. He did try to get more. He even attempted to recruit Frederick Douglass at one point.
Oh.
But Frederick Douglass was like, this is an absolute suicide mission. Yeah. I'm not doing that. Absolutely not. You know, certainly mm-hmm. anti-slavery. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think this is smart. But so there's 22 of them to do this. And the raid on the armory actually starts off pretty okay. Mm. They got close to the armory, and when they did, they cut the telegraph lines twice to prevent communication in either direction.
Mm-hmm.
One on the Virginia side, one on the Maryland side.
Mm-hmm.
And so with no communication, with all communication down, they're like, now let's take the armory. And so they go up to the building itself. And for reasons that I cannot fucking fathom, the armory has only one watchman posted. And also, he is unarmed.
I just don't like guns. That's all. I just don't like them.
I will do my duty. I'll do my mm-hmm. service. Like yeah. I've been asked. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. I love my country, but I will not. I couldn't see myself holding mm-hmm. a gun. Absolutely not. He's got a literal armory at mm-hmm. his back, and he's unarmed. So he surrenders pretty quick.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And he turns over the keys to some of Brown's men. So this whole thing is going really well, but then a train comes through.
Mm.
Train rolls into town about 1:30 a.m. and Brown stops the train.
Hmm.
Brown goes on board and he starts talking to all the passengers.
We're like, makes it dude, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
I've been sleeping. Like, we just not.
I thought Amtrak was horrible before this. Now I got to argue with the guy at 2 o'clock in the morning.
So he goes on board, and he's telling everyone who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not pretending to be someone else.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, he had just come off this Kansas thing. Like, he's actually a pretty big name
mm-hmm.
in the world. Like, he's in newspapers. Like, people are like, oh, shit, you're John Brown, the abolitionist? Oh, no. So he's there, and he's talking to them about, like, his whole deal. And he's like, here's what we're doing here. And he's mm-hmm. he's monologuing, basically. Mm-hmm. He's, like, giving them his whole plan away. And he detains the train for like 5 or 6 hours because he's not sure what to do with it.
Right.
Should we let it go? Should mm-hmm. we not? Like, let me just stall.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually he decides, all right, well, you guys can go. Like, you're not involved in this. I don't want you to get hurt,
mm-hmm.
which is all well and good. Right. Except, so he lets the train go. And this is what he would later call his quote, one mistake. Because then at about 7 a.m., which is like, I don't know, an hour after they're released
mm-hmm.
or less. The train then arrives at the next station
mm-hmm.
where there is a working telegraph. And guess what they decided to tell everyone about?
Guess who I just met.
So they tell everybody. And so then, you know, in hindsight, Brown was like, well, I should have either killed them all or just not even stopped the train.
Mm.
And it does seem like, that seems right. So the train sends telegraphs all over the fucking place, and people find out there's an attack on the armory,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of private militia men go first. They grab their guns, they head over, and they, you know, they're doing their thing for a day or so,
mm-hmm.
and then word gets to President James Buchanan, and he orders the Marines to go in there.
Ooh,
you got to put this shit down. And the Marines are led by one Robert E. Lee. He doesn't like abolitionists very much. And so he goes in. So long story short, Brown is captured, and the rebellion didn't go great.
Right.
Brown was tried for treason. He was hanged. And that is the end of John Brown. Now, his story is really fascinating, actually. I almost did a full episode just on John Brown. And maybe we will someday because it's really good. But that's the crux.
Yeah.
You get it. Anyway, so then, of course, eventually the Civil War comes to town.
Mm-hmm.
A few years later, Civil War starts, and it's in Harper's Ferry. Now, Harper's Ferry changed hands between the Union and Confederate armies like 8 times during the war. So it's strategically, it's a very good spot.
Sure.
It's right on that water. The biggest battle fought there has come to be known, fittingly enough, as the Battle of Harper's Ferry.
Oh.
You don't have to get too fancy with it. In September of 1862, the Union controlled the town, and Robert E. Lee decides that he wants it now.
Okay.
That's my town. I want that town. So, again, like you could, it's such a long story. But basically, what happens is they surround the town with cannons, which ends up being pretty effective. Now, the Union general in charge of Harper's Ferry is a man named Dixon Miles. This is historically one of the great names of American history. And old Dixon Miles, he did fight for a while, but once the town was surrounded, he was like, here's a passage from Wikipedia. Quote, at a council of war with his brigade commanders, he agreed to raise the white flag of surrender, but he would not be personally present at any ceremony.
Hmm.
He was confronted by a captain of the 126th New York Infantry who said, for fuck's sake, Colonel, don't surrender us. Don't you hear the signal guns? Our forces are near us. Let us cut our way out and join them. But Miles replied, impossible. They will blow us out of this place in half an hour. As the captain turned away in disdain, a shell exploded, shattering Miles's left leg. So disgusted were the men of the garrison with Miles's behavior, it was difficult to find a man who would take him to the hospital. He was mortally wounded and died the next day. Some historians have even speculated that perhaps Miles had been intentionally fired upon by his own men because they hated him so fucking much for surrendering in space. Anyway, that battle was an absolute routing of the Union Army. All in all, the Confederates captured 12,419 Union soldiers.
Shoo!
What do you do with them all?
Yeah.
You can't imprison 12,000 people.
You can't eat them. It's what are you going to eat
some of them?
I mean, yeah, but eventually.
But like, I don't know, a few dozen max. Oh man. So it was the greatest surrender of federal forces during the Civil War and the largest number of U.S. troops to surrender until the fall of Bataan in the Philippines during World War II. Anyway, point is, all this history in Harper's Ferry has made the town absolutely chock-a-block with ghosts. St. Peter's Church had served as a hospital during the Civil War, and there was a young man who was pretty badly wounded who showed up there one day. They carried him into the church, and as soon as he crossed the threshold, he said, quote, thank God I'm saved. But that was wrong, and he died almost immediately afterward.
Oh, he must have been in like the Jesus way.
Like the, oh, like, thank oh, I'm, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a Baptist, so I have to be in the front. Yeah. This is how it works now.
I have to die in a church. It's just the rule. I'm sorry.
It's just a rule. I did it. Visitors now see his ghostly aura at the entrance, and some even hear those final words being whispered in the entry hall. And there are all sorts of Civil War ghosts kind of bunking around inside of houses in the town there. Of course, Fireball Jenny is obviously a ghost. I don't think it's what they call her, but...
She can do about it?
Well, sometimes at night, train conductors will lose their absolute minds when they see a human-shaped fireball come running out of the woods, screaming, and she steps into the path of the train, and then they hit her because they have no choice.
Right.
And then fireball disappears.
And then your hairdresser has another story to tell everybody.
And then my hairdresser is like, holy, you won't believe this.
The worst.
He keeps killing people.
Even worse than the dogs. I promise you. Even worse than the dogs is when he runs over the ghosts.
The lower the stakes, the higher the emotional damage. That's an us thing. We're working on it. We're going to therapy together every single week, but it's really weighing on us.
One time he crushed like 5 pennies on the rails. It was I don't even know how he came home that night. I really don't.
<It's> so stupid. So Jenny is there and she's doing her whole thing. In the army, you may remember, the army that was raised there for the war with the French that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
They're also still there, and the entire army appears some nights in Harper's Ferry.
Wow.
Walking down Main Street with their rifles and their drums, holding their fun parades, even in death. Which sounds pretty nice. John Brown's ghost also roams the streets. He smiles at visitors and generally makes his presence known to anyone willing to notice. As he did on the train. I guess that was his whole deal. Hey, everyone. I'm John Brown, and I murder people. You like it? One group of tourists reported taking a picture with him once, thinking he was a reenactor walking around town. But when they developed the photos, there was only a blank space standing between
them. Wow.
I don't have the photo.
I was going to say, you bring it up on screen? I mean, we have the internet.
It was before internet. Yeah, this is before that, I think.
Yeah,
I
and
think
then no before, one kept it after that.
No, why would you? Yeah, it's a cursed photo, and you want to get rid of it as soon as possible.
And that one right back to Walgreens. No, thank you.
No, this is your problem now. But perhaps the best known local ghost is the ghost of Dangerfield Newbie.
Okay.
which as far as I can tell is a real name. Newbie was one of the free black men who fought with John Brown in the raid on Harper's Ferry. One of the local militiamen during the raid ran out of ammo when trying to protect the town, and so instead he starts firing 6-inch spikes out of his rifle. Now, I don't know where he got the 6-inch spikes.
Yeah, I also don't know how this works, like, physically, but that's fine.
No, I mean, it's like, here, I'm going to put this in this tube. Mm-hmm. Here is some powder. I will light it. Mm-hmm. It's basic projectile science, I think.
It's probably not going to blow my face off. Probably.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Let's see. One of the spikes that he shot got Newbie in the throat.
Oh.
Kills him pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Once Newbie was down, residents of town got real brave, and they ran over and repeatedly stabbed him, and then they cut off his limbs,
ugh,
and they left his remains in an alley for the hogs to eat.
Mm.
People really didn't like being raided, is what I'm learning from this. And Newbie himself can be seen walking through town now, and he is reportedly one of the most terrifying ghosts in Harper's Ferry, if you can believe it. He has a scar across his throat, and sometimes his limbs fall off when you see him.
Oh, I mean, that's whimsical.
It's kind of fun.
It is, you know?
Yeah. I would pay a lot of money to see that at, like, Disney World. Everyone's so complaining about. And those are the stories of the ghosts of Harper's Ferry, the many ghosts of Harper's Ferry, West Virginia.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Thinking about the whimsical ghost where all the arms fall off. I'm thinking
it's upsetting.
Thinking Nightmare Before Christmas ride.
Oh, that's fun.
Wouldn't it be? You know,
it would be fun.
Yeah.
Now is he Jack Skellington or is he like one of the nightmare?
Ooh, that's got to be one of the nightmare creatures right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pretty locked into the whole mythology of Jack Skellington.
Himself. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone's going to fall apart, it's Sally.
Sally, yeah.
So, yeah, that's clear. All right, well, that's going to do it for us, I guess, this week. All the notes this week on Is This a Ghost, which is a production of Smith Show Media. Uh-huh, got that one in there this time. All the notes were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jen Swanson. Our video editor is Jeremy Montoya. Did I do it right? I get that right? That seems right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Our social media team consists of Kai Valonis, Jen Jones, Sam Murdoch. All our merch is designed by Fox and Quill Studio. Go follow them on Instagram at Fox and Quill Studio. And, you know, we'll be back probably next week.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Definitely. Definitely, maybe.
I think definitely there's a strong possibility we may be here next week. And in the meantime, just stay out of West Virginia. There's nothing good there except for Mothman. If you're going to go to Mothman, you can go to West Virginia. Other than Mothman, stay out of West Virginia, or else we will be talking about you next week on Is This a Ghost?